Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Horius Daf Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the upper part of Daf Gimel, one will notice, approximately 7 lines from the top, a triangled name, Rav Nachman, and to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, you see a Roman numeral number 2. This is a result of our being in the middle of a general discussion as to who the author of our Mishnah is. Our Mishnah suggested that a private person who follows an erroneous psak of Beis Din will be exempt from bringing a personal korban chatos, similar to a situation where you have Rov of a tzibor who follows an erroneous psak of Beis Din. According to everybody, the members of the public do not have to bring a personal chatos. The issue concerning a private individual being exempt as well when following the erroneous psak of a Beis Din, this itself is not a unanimously accepted opinion. Rav Nachman is a second version of a second presentation of Shmuel's presentation as to who the author of the Mishnah is. We saw on Daf Beis that Rav Yehuda claimed in the name of Shmuel that the author of our Mishnah was the Tana Rebbe Yehuda. Rav Nachman in the name of Shmuel claims that the Tana of our Mishnah is Rebbe Meir. So let us now continue in the Gemara. Rav Nachman Omer Shmuel, Zu Divrei Rebbe Meir. Our Mishnah that says a Yochid Shoso Bahiras Bezin is Potter is Shitas Rebbe Meir. Avol Chachamim Omrim Yochid Shoso Bahiras Bezin Chayov. The Chachamim disagree and say that an individual who follows an erroneous psak of Beis Din, he will be obligated to bring a Korban Chatos. My Rebbe Meir. Umay Rabbanan. What are the sources in which you find these opinions? So we have a source that has both names together, Desanya Horu V'Asu, Rabbi Meir Poter V'Chachomim Mechayvin. Man Asu. Notice we have a double underline featured here, and in our comment on the side under our Mivneh heading, structural note, the double underline is used as a series marking. Here we have explained Shlovim Lahavonas Hamokor Dikatoni Horu V'Yosu Rav Meir Poter V'Chomim Mechayvin, stages of trying to understand this particular source. So the Gemara asks Man Osu. It should be mentioned though that we have a long answer marking after the Gemara raised the question of my Rebbe Meir, my Rabbanon. The Gemara proceeds to answer that question, and it's going to take up a number of lines of Gemara. The number of lines or the length of the answer is indicated by a long answer marking. You can see to the immediate right hand side of your Gemara text a tuf that's encircled with a vertical dashed line, indicating that all of the lines opposite this vertical dashed line form the answer. So the Gemara asks, after presenting the source Man Asu, it says in the source Horu V'Asu, who was Asu? Who did? Who violated? He Lemo based in, if the source is to be understood that Beis Din ruled and they themselves did whatever they ruled upon, then my time of the Rabbanon the Mechayvi, why do the Rabbanon say that there is an obligation? The Hotanya, we have a source that says Yochol Horu Bezdin V'Yosu Bezdin Yochol Yuchayavin. Is it so that if Beis Din would issue a ruling and the only ones to follow the ruling were the Beis Din themselves, would they be obligated? Would they be chayav to bring a par helem dover shel tzibor? Tamad lomar hakohol v'asu. namely Maisa Tolui Bakohol Vahara Tolui Bebeisdin. The action, that's dependent on the community, the public. The ruling, that is something, that's an out, that's a function of the court. Elo Hoiru Bezdin Viosu Roiv Kohol. Well, maybe the source that we're trying to understand is a case where Bezdin ruled and the majority of the public were in violation. Well, if that's the case, my time with Rabbi Meir de Poter. Why would Rabbi Meir say that there's no obligation of bringing a par helam dofer shel tzibor? That's the classic case where there is an obligation. So why would Rabbi Meir exempt? Ela lav hoiru bezdin viosu miut kohol. Rather, the case is that Bezdin issued the ruling, and a minority of the public followed their ruling. Ubeha komiflegi. Now we have a new geometric form, another series marking. We have this house form, and on the side of our Gemara, we've indicated that this house represents a sidro shel hesberim b'mai cholkin Rabbi Meir v'chachamim, a series of explanations. We're going to number off. We're going to number off up to five. To explanations as to what Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim are arguing about. Well, the first approach is what we're hoping will be the answer to our original question. Ubehokom ifugi, mor sovar yochid chosubaraz bezin potter. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that a private person who follows the erroneous psak of bezin is exempt. And that's what the source said. It said, Horu vi osu, Rabbi Meir poter, where the court issued a ruling and osu, the minority, followed the ruling. Rabbi Meir says there is an exemption from bringing a personal korban chatos. V'chachomim umar sovar, this is the chachomim hold, yochid shos baros based in chayav, that a private person who followed an erroneous psak of the court, he does bring a korban chatos. This then, at this point, we have the end of our answer as to the background or the source for Shmuel saying that our Mishnah that held the Yochid Shos Baraz Bezdin is Potter, and the claim being that our Mishnah is based on Shitas Rabbi Meir. Omar Rav Papa. Rav Papa disagrees with this approach. He says, the Kulei Alma, even the Chachamim will hold Yochid Shos Baraz Bezdin Potter. And according to Rav Papa, as opposed to Rav Nachman, the Mishnah, our Mishnah, could be according to all opinions. So if that's the case, what is the Machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim based on? Elo, based in Mashlim L'Roiv Tzibor Komiflegi. Does the Bezdin, are they able to complete the amount of people needed to constitute a majority of the public? More so far, based in Mashlim, the Rov Tzibor, the Chachamim will hold that a based in does join up with the general public to constitute a majority. And as a result of that, there would be a need for a par helam velver shel tzibor. Umor sofar, Rabbi Meir holds, ein bezdin mashlim l'rov tzibor, that the bezdin does not join up to constitute a majority of the public. Rashi points out, bezdin mashlim l'rov tzibor, de osu im ma'at tzibor, v'hishlimu l'rov tzibor, that the bezdin that issued the erroneous psak, they themselves practiced it as well, practice the violation as well, along with a minority of the public, which as a result of the basin also being in violation, being participatory in the action, they bring the minority over the halfway mark to constitute a majority. Well, that having been said, we see that the Chachamim will say that the Bezin is Mashlim, and the other Rabbi Meir opinion holding Ein Bezdin Mashlim. The boy Esema, another approach to explain the Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is Hoiru Bezdin V'osu Ruboi Shokohol Uman Chachamim the Chachamim that said that the Chachamim Mechayven, Rabbi Shimon he, the Amar, Tzibur Maisi, who based in Maisi. And Rabbi Meir that says Potter, it means that the Tzibur is Potter. The Machlokas here revolves around the question of who pays for the korban, who brings the korban of Par Helom Dover Shel Tzibur. The Shitas Rabbi Meir that's reflected here is that when he says that the when Rabbi Meir says Potter, namely Tzibur is Potter. Rashi points this out. Rabbi Meir Tzibur Maisi, Rabbi Meir Potter Tzibur Toho Ko Maisi based in. According to Rabbi Meir, the Tzibur is exempt from contributing to the korban because that is paid for by the court itself. Kidamrin lekamon, Rabbi Meir Omer Shiva Shvatim Shechatu. If you have a situation where seven tribes sin, based in Mevim Aleim Par Vehem Pturin. Continuing in the Gemara, the Ibois Emo, another approach to explain the Machlokas Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim mentioned above, is Shevet Sheosaburaz Beis Dino. It's a case of a tribe's court, as opposed to the Sanhedrin HaGodol, but a tribe's court. They have their own head court that issued an erroneous ruling, and the tribe followed their own court's ruling. Uman Chachomim, and who is the Chachomim that are Mechayev, that there is a special korban brought in that case? Rabbi Yehuda he. This conforms to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that holds that a singular Shevet is referred to by the term Kohol. The Pasuk in the Torah says that if there's something, let's say a psak issued by the court and it's hidden from the eyes of the Kohol. So the Kohol, who is the Kohol? The Pasuk says, V'ne'elam dover me'enei ha-Kohol. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, a singular tribe is called Kohol. And the Gemara proceeds, Desanya, Shevet Shalsubayraz Beis Dino, a singular tribe that followed the erroneous psak, the erroneous ruling of its own court. Oiso Shevet Chayav. So that tribe is Chayav. When we say that tribe is chayev, we of course mean that tribe is chayev to bring the par helem dover. The Iboy Esema, a fifth approach to explaining the machlukis Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, kagoin shechotu shisha vehein rubo shokohol, where six tribes, even though six is only half and not a majority of the tribes, but population-wise they constitute a rove, a majority, oishiva, or seven tribes, act in violation based on the court's ruling, Afal Pi She'einon Rubo Shel Kohol, even though they do not constitute a majority of population. You have a majority of numbers of tribes, but not majority of population. Umasnisin Moni, the Chachomim that are Mechayev, who is this? That you have a situation here where you have an element of majority, but you don't have an absolute majority. And the Mechayven in the source that where it said Chachomim Mechayven, who is that? Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer he, Desanya. This conforms to his opinion, as is featured in the following source, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Mishmo. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer quotes Rabbi Meir in saying, Chotu Shisho Vehein Rubo Shokohol, O Yeshiva Afopi She'enon Rubo Shokohol, Chayovin. Omar Rav Asi, Ubahoiro Haloch Acharov Yoshve Eretz Yisrael. When we talk about the majority of the public being in violation based on the court ruling, the majority of population is measured of those who dwell in the land of Israel. Shenemar, Vayas Shlomo Boesahi Esachag. V'chol Yisrael imoy kahal gadol milavo chamos ad nachal Mitzrayim lifnei Hashem Elokeinu shivas yomim v'shivas yomim arbo asor yoim. The pasuk describes Shlomo HaMelech making a making a great holiday upon the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. And in this pasuk, we have to take notice of something. Michtiksiv. If we look into this, it says, "V'chol Yisrael imoi kahal gadol." It says all of Israel, all of the Jews were with him, constituting a large assembly. Milavo Hamos ad Nacham Mitzrayim Lomali. Why is it necessary to delineate geographic boundaries, saying from Levo Hamos until Nacham Mitzrayim, which are boundaries of the land of Israel? Shma mino hani hu de ikri kohol. We can conclude from here that it's these, in other words, residents of this geographic area, to whom we can assign the title of kohol. The pasuk used the word kahal gadol. Aval hanoch, people living outside of those boundaries, lo ikri kol, they would not be referred to by the term kohol. And the pasuk that describes or discusses the issue of this par helon dovar shitzibor mentions the word kohol in it. So when we talk about the majority of the population, we're talking about the majority of the inhabitants of the land of Israel. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a double underline with dots in it to distinguish it from previously used double underlines. This will emphasize two cases, and we've featured them on the side as well under our Nosei Mivneh heading. One situation is Merubin v'nismatu, where a sin was done after an erroneous court ruling by the majority of the population. However, by the time it was discovered that there was an error, the population, those who violated it, a number of them died out, and they ended up becoming a minority of the population. So when the question then is there a necessity of bringing a par helam dover or not? There's another scenario of mu'otin v'nisrabu, where the ones that were in violation constituted a majority. They constituted a minority, but by the time it was discovered that there was an erroneous court ruling, it turned out that they were the majority. In other words, what happened is that those that were not in violation, they ended up dying out, leaving the violators, who were originally the minority, turning into a majority. So we just described two situations. Before we can go further in the Gemara, but let us review a point that's common to both of these cases, and that is that the actual sin, performance of the sin, or as we used on a previous occasion, the issue of eating chalev as an example, that was done under one circumstance. And the discovery of the sin, the discovery of the fact that the court made a mistake, took place under a different circumstance. If we glance at a Mishnah found later in this Maseches, on Daf Yud, the Mishnah describes several different offices in Jewish life. A king, a priest, a high priest, a Kohen Gadol, that as private individuals, their korban chatas would be in the form of a kisvar seira, a female sheep or goat. However, as appointed individuals, when they ascend to their higher office, the halacha concerning their korban changes. The Kohen Gadol having one standard, and the a specific standard, and a king having his own standard. In the case of the king, if he were to sin the same sin, however, doing it as a king, he brings a so'ir. He brings a male goat offering, no longer bringing a female offering. In the case of the Kohen Gadol, he goes from the from a private person in violation, he would bring a kisvo sirah. In the case of a Kohen Gadol, he is not obligated to bring a korban chatos unless it was preceded by a psak din. For our purposes, without getting into the details, a change takes place with regard to a king or a Kohen Gadol from their original private status. The Mishnah on Daf Yud says, and one can glance ahead if he has a Gemara in front of him, on Daf Yud the Mishnah says, Chotu ad shelo nismanu, if these people sinned, we mentioned the king or the Kohen Gadol, they committed their sin before they were appointed to office, v'achar kach nismanu, and before they had a chance to bring their korban, they were appointed to their higher office. So the Mishnah says, "Hare elu kehedyotos." The Tanakama, the first opinion, holds that they bring a korban as private people. That even though at the time of the bringing of the korban they've already ascended to their respective high office, nevertheless, the sin took place when they were still commoners. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im noda lohem ad shaloi nismanu chayovim. Rabbi Shimon has a different standard. He says, if it became known to them that they sinned before they ascended to their high office, in other words, they violated and became aware of the violation before ascending to high office, then chayovim, then they're obligated to bring the korban chatos. However, umishin ismanu, if they discover their offense only after they achieved high office, pturim, then they are exempt. They don't bring their korban chatos. According to Rabbi Shimon, one sees that only if you have the violation and the recognition in the same state, only then does one bring the korban chatos. If, however, you split between the time of violation and the discovery of the violation, the discovery that they had committed a sin, then they would be exempt. That serves as background for the piece of Gemara we're now going to learn on Daf Gimel. So we continue with our Gemara on the third wide line. Pshita merubin v'nismatu. In a situation where the court issued an erroneous ruling, using the example of eating chalev, claiming that chalev is mutter, and a majority of people ate the chalev based on the court's ruling, v'nismatu, and it was discovered that there was an erroneous court ruling at a point that the original violators now constitute a minority of the population. Hainu plukto de Rebbe Shimoin v'Rabbonon. The ruling here would be dependent on the machlokes between, this case would parallel the machlokes between Rebbe Shimon and the Rabbonon. According to the Rabbonon, there would be an obligation to bring a parhelim, because the Rabbonon placed an emphasis on the time of commission. At the time of commission of offense, the ones who violated were the majority, and as such, there's a need to bring a parhelim of a shel tzibur. According to Rabbi Shimon, if you don't have both elements at the same time frame, then there is no obligation. And in this case, you have the violation while they were Reuben, however, the discovery took place at a point that there would not have been an obligation to bring a parhelim, because the violators constitute only a minority at the point of discovery. How about this case? Mu'otin v'nisrabu mai, mi pligi Rabbi Shimon v'Rabbanan. In the case where there was a only a minority that were in violation as a result of the erroneous court ruling. But at the time, by the time they discovered that there was an erroneous court ruling, they constituted the majority. Would the same machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan take place? And here the Gemara sets out to describe how the machlokas might appear. Rabbi Shimon, the Ozil Basu Yadia, Rabbi Shimon, who placed a premium on point of discovery, and in this last example, the point of discovery, they, the violators, were the majority. So he who places an emphasis on point of discovery, mechayev, there would be an obligation to bring a parhelim. For Rabbanon, the Azli Boser Chatos, the Rabbanon who emphasized the time of commission of sin, in this case, the commission of the sin was when they were a minority patri. Oy loy. Or maybe we won't say that the case of Mu'atim v'Nisrabu should parallel that particular machlokas. My. So what is the ruling? The Gemara says, let's hold up. He says, Vitisbara. The Gemara at this point is going to be doche, is going to reject the attempt to parallel the case of Mu'atim v'Nisrabu to that machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. Amor de Shamas Le Rabbi Shimon, the Ozil Af Boser Yedia, Hechi de Havi Yedia Vechato Bechiv. We have known Rabbi Shimon to say that there is an obligation based on Yedia, based on discovery of offense or discovery of the sin, only where you have Yedia in the same time frame as the commission. However, Yedia delochato, to suggest that based on discovery alone, without coupling it with the commission of the sin in the same time frame, mi shamis lei, would we have heard him to say that there is an obligation? De'im kain, if that would be the case, that yedia alone is capable of resulting in an obligation to bring a korban, then laisi ki hashta. Then let them bring, in the case of the private person that was appointed as, let us say, as a king, let him bring at the if he discovers only once he's a king, then let him bring the kingly korban chatos. And yet Rabbi Shimon said that if he discovers the sin only after he was appointed, he's actually exempt. So we see from the opinion of Rabbi Shimon that no emphasis or no obligation can possibly be achieved through focusing on a situation where you have discovery alone, discovery disjointed from time of commission. Hence, Ella, Gemara goes on, Ella Rabbi Shimon chato viyadia boy. He requires, in order for there to be an obligation to bring a korban chatos, you would have to have the discovery taking place during the same time frame or same circumstances as the actual violation having took place. Therefore, in the case of discovery after they became the majority, there is no basis for suggesting that Rabbi Shimon would be mechayev, because if he would be mechayev, then you'd have a situation of chiyuv based on yedia alone, and we know Rabbi Shimon does not obligate based on discovery alone. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a slash indicating that which follows is of an entirely new nature. We also have a diamond featured, and we have a topic heading with a structural note that accompanies this section of Gemara, the Nosei Mivneh. You notice we have a diamond featured, Sidro Shel She'elos, series of questions, but Siruv Piske based in Leos Rov, where we will attempt to, where we'll ask, can you join two different court rulings and the population following those two different rulings, and have the two rulings and populations that follow them to join up to constitute a majority of the public. And once again, we're working within the Shita that says that only if you have, if or once you have a majority of the public that follow the erroneous psak, then there arises a need for a par helam dover shel tzibur. Ibaya laho. Horu based in chaylev mutar v'asur miyut hakol. Court issued ruling that chaylev is allowed, and a minority of the people followed and ate chaylev. V'chazru based in bohen v'horu v'asur miyut achir mahu. And then based in issued once again another ruling that chaylev is mutar, and again a minority of the a new minority. Miut Achir followed the erroneous ruling. Mahu, how do we view this situation? Kevon deshte yedios nenu lo mitzarf. Since there are two separate discoveries of offense or of error, so they do not join up. They don't join up to form a majority. Oydilma kevon deidi veidi chelivhu. Since both court rulings concern the same substance, mitzaref, they could join up to constitute a majority, and hence there would be a need for a par helam dover shel tzibur. The im timtzilomar, what we've done with our markings, we've used a squiggle underline consistently under the expression ol dilma, which presents the alternative or other side of the question, and we've dashed underlined the expression v'im tim salomar, which is an expression of build up, if you will, namely, and if you say the following v'im tim salomar kevon didi v'idi chelev hu mitzarev, and if you choose that approach, that since both piskei din concern the same substance, they do join up to form a majority, then I have another question, and we've indicated this is with a number 2, and we will continue numbering off the questions that form this form, that actually form a series of questions under this diamond heading that started with the Ibaya Laho. So we build up to a second question. Miut b'chelev sh'al gabi hakeva, u'miut b'chelev sh'al gabi hadakin mahu. Let us say there was a court ruling saying that this section of chelev, the chelev that's on the keva, one of the internal organs, that is mutter, and that's in error, and a mute of the kohol ate chelev shal keva, and another mute, another minority of the public, ate a different chelev. It's chelev, but it's the chelev that's on the dakin, a different internal organ. So mahu, what is the din here about joining up to form a majority? Hacha vada kiven de betray kroi kaasi lo mitzarf. It could be that here, since the chelev on the keva and chelev that are on the dakin are derived from two separate psukim, the sources for these types of chelev as being prohibited come from two different scriptural sources. So the two minorities of the population cannot join up. Since, after all, the substances, whether they're all, both of them are chelev, just that they come from different parts of the body. But since they both are chelev, mitzaref, the two minorities of the population could join up to form a majority. The intim salam are shame chelev hu umitzaref, and if you take that approach, the second approach, that the fact that they have the same name, that they fall under the same category, they can join up. What about the following? Miut b'chelev u'miut b'damahu. Let us say there were two court rulings, one concerning chelev and one concerning dam, and in both instances a minority of the population followed the court. Hocha, so the question is mahu, what is the din with regard to the two minorities constituting a majority? Hocha vadai detrei isuri ninu v'kevon di'ein isurun shova lo mitzarif. Here, there are clearly two separate offenses, and as a result of that, they cannot join up. Oidilmo kevon de korbonon shova mitzarif. on the other hand, since when a private person would be in violation without a court ruling, would be in violation of either chalev or dam, he would have to bring the same kind of korban. So the fact that the same type of sacrifice, so since chalev and dam have in common the same type of korban chatos, same type of private korban chatos, so these two offenses could join up. And hence, the when we say offenses, we're referring to the minority of the public that violated each one of them could join up to form a majority. V'imtim salomar kevan de karbonon shava mitzdarif. Well, if you accept that approach, that you can say there's coupling based on common korban, what about this case? Miut b'chelev umiut b'avodes kechovim mahu, where a minority of people followed an erroneous psak concerning chelev, and a minority of the public followed an erroneous psak concerning idolatry. How do we deal with this? Here, the sins are different, and the types of korban are different. The korban brought for chelev is one type of animal, and the korban brought for the violation of idolatry is another kind of animal. So there, the korban nor is the korban similar. So they would not join up. Odilma came on the edividi koresu, since if either one of these offenses, chelev or idolatry, were committed knowingly, they have the same type of the same punishment, namely kores. So mitzaref, maybe they would join up. Teku. So this remains unresolved. Ibayalo horu based in shechelev mutter the osu miut hakohol. Based in rule that chelev is allowed, of course erroneously, and a minority of the public followed their ruling. Umeis oisoi based in the omad based in achir the chazru v'horu the osu miut achir, and the based in that ruled the original based in that ruled died. And a second Beis Din was appointed, and they again ruled that chelev is mutter, and another minority of the population followed. Alibo demanda Omar Beis Din Maisi lo tiboy aloch dohal lesnehu. According to the opinion that says that the par helem dover shetzibor is purchased by the court itself, well, there is no grounds for suggesting a par helem in this case, because the original Beis Din is no longer around. So there's no chance of these two miuts joining up. Elokiti boy aloch aliba demanda omar tzibor maisi mai. However, the question arises concerning the opinion that says that the ones who sponsor the purchase of the par helem are the public themselves. What's the din? Well, in this case, let's just review the case. There were two courts that were responsible for rulings over here. The original court died. However, Sibor Hakoi, as far as the public is concerned, the public is around. Oy Dilma Yedia Dahu based in the Horu Boinan. Where it could be that the korban par helam dover shetzibor is brought only upon the discovery on the part of the Beis Din that issued the erroneous ruling. And in this case, the first Beis Din is no longer there. And hence there would be no chance of a joining together of the minorities, because you don't have a yediya of the court. Teku. So this issue remains unresolved. Before we go further in the Gemara, let us take advantage of the topic heading we have, the Nosei. Mea shiyoshvu lahoros, there were 100 judges that sat to issue a ruling, the Tohu, and they made a mistake. Ein chayoven ad shiyoru kulan. There is no obligation of a par helem until they all are together in the psak. So, that's one side of the analysis. Oi rubo kikulo, or it's sufficient if the majority are together in the erroneous psak. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rebbe Yoinason, Me'al Shiyoshvu Lahorois, 100 that sat down to issue a ruling, Ein Chayovin Ad Shiyoru Kulan. There would be no obligation of a par hill and Dovershut Tzibor until they all rule erroneously. And it would not be sufficient if a mere majority issued the erroneous ruling. Shenemar, v'imkol adas Yisrael yishgu. And that's interpreted as ad sheyishgu kulon, ad shetifshoid hoira b'chol adas Yisrael. The obligation of a par helem does not arise until all of those that were sitting in as judges issue their ruling. Omar Rav Huna Rav Yehoshua, the Brei de Rav Hoshaya. We have a new geometric form, and we want to take note of it by glancing at the side of the Gemara. We have a volcano form, or a trapezoid, if you will, and under our Mivneh heading in the margin, where you have this form where the narrow part of the trapezoid is facing upwards, Hoychocha deboinon kulam. This is an attempt to prove that you need all of them for lo dai barov, and it is insufficient if you have a mere majority. Midichtiv vaposuk kol. From the fact that the posuk that we just read has the word kol, meaning everybody, and it said kol adas Yisrael. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice an inverted form, and that's a dechia, a rejection. The pasuk acher mufia kol ubechol zos dai barov. We'll cite another pasuk in which the word kol appears, and we will be informed that the understanding of kol over there is even if it's the majority and not an actual absolute 100% group. We will notice another geometric form, a house form. Kushios al shitas rabionison mimakoros. We will present questions on rabionison's opinion, the opinion that we just read, that you need achiro kulan, from sources shemehem royim de nigmara hoiro afil im ein kulam. From sources that we see that you achieve a gemar hoiro, a complete legal ruling, even if you don't have all of them. So let us continue in the Gemara. Omar Rav Huna, Brei Rav Hoshaya. Hochi nami mistabra. It is logical to accept Rav Yonason's approach. De b'chol ha-tura kula, kaimalon rubo kikuloi. In general, whenever you learn something in the Torah, you can assume that the majority is equal to, or it has the same status as kulam, as a 100% situation. V'hocha ksiv kol ha'eda. And here the pasuk adds the word kol in it. It doesn't say v'im adas Yisrael yishku, from which I would have on my own understood you need the rov. Here the pasuk adds the word kol. And as a result of that, hoyol v'kach, because it added the word kol, afilu hein mea. I have to conclude, therefore, that even if you've got 100 judges, they all have to be together in issuing the psak. And only then, if they're all together, only then would you have grounds for a par helem. So at this point, we're working with the assumption that you don't have that which constitutes a psak din or a hayra unless all of them are together in it. Tanan, as mentioned before in our introduction, the Gemara at this point will raise a question, and we also have a length indicator to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a kuf in a little house form. This and the vertical dashed line that follows, that indicates all of these lines are part of the question. The source says, Horu Bezdin, V'yoda Echod Mehem Shetou, Oy Talmud V'roy Lohiro. The high court issued a ruling and one of the members knew that there was a mistake, or a student who was capable of ruling himself knew there was a mistake. V'holach V'osal Pihen, and went and followed their ruling anyway. Bein She'osu V'osu Imoen, Ubein She'osu V'osu Achrayem, Ubein She'lo Osu V'osu Hareze Chayov, Bnei She'lo Tolo V'beizdin. He is obligated to bring a personal Korban Chatos because he knew they made a mistake and his behavior was not based on the court ruling. Now we want to infer from here the following. Hai hu de chayov. This individual, the judge who knew that his court was making a mistake, or a Talmud Roy Lahoyro knew there was a mistake, so they are obligated. Ha acher potter. If it were just someone from the general public that knew that they were in error, he would not be obligated. That's the inference that we're drawing from this source. The amai. The question is why. Why is it that if someone was a member of this court knew that there was an error, why is it that that there's an obligation? Ha lo nigmara, or we can say more accurately, why is it that a member of the tzibur that knew there was an error, why should he be exempt? Ha lo nigmara hora, he acted, this member of the general community that knew there was a mistake, he acted without a final court ruling issued. And we know that if you don't have a final court issue, a complete court ruling issued, then there's no grounds for exemption, and he should bring his own Korban Chatos. So the question is, why is that Acher Potter? Now, why are we suggesting that there is an incomplete court ruling? You have a case here where one of the members of the court knew there was an error, so he was not together with the rest of the court in their ruling. So you don't have a complete psak, and yet you see that it is treated as a complete psak in the fact that the yochid or the acher is exempt. It seems that he is able to rely on the court ruling even though they weren't all together in it. This is a kasha on Rav Yonasan. Hocha b'mayaskinon kagon shehirkin hahu echod mehen b'roishai. The individual, the member of the court that knew there was a mistake, he nodded his head, or the Talmud Shehigila Hiro, he nodded his head, giving the impression that he agreed with their ruling. And that is enough to constitute a Gemar Hiro. And hence, if someone in the general public followed that erroneous court ruling, he would be exempt. Toshma. Once again, we have a question. It's a long question. Horu bezdin v'yoda echod mehem shetou v'omar lohen toyim atem hare elu pturim. Bezdin issued a ruling, and one of the judges knew there was a mistake, and he told them that you are making a mistake. So there is exemption. Now, taimo di omar lohem toyim atem de pturim. Why is there no Korban Chatos, no par? Why is there no par brought over here? Because they were informed you are making a mistake. Ha shosik mishtak. However, if the judge that knew they were making a mistake remained quiet, chayovin, the Gomar lo hoiro, the Amai, the lo horu kulan. We're inferring here that had he remained silent, then there would have been a chiyuv of a par helem dover shel tzibor, and that the ruling that they issued would have been a complete ruling. But why should there be a complete ruling? But there was someone who knew they made a mistake, so he was not in agreement with their ruling. Amri hochinami, the case here too is kagon shehirkin barosha, where he originally he nodded, giving the impression that he was in agreement. Mosiv Rav Misharshia. Notice we have an inverted trapezoid marking. So what happens now in the Gemara is that we have an attempt to be doche, to reject Rav Huna's observation that we saw above. What did Rav Huna Rav Yoshaya suggest above? That when you see the word kol in a pasuk, that indicates that you need 100%. And that we would not say that rove is enough. Let's raise a question on that. Mosiv Rav Misharshia. We have a Tanaic source. Somchu Rabbo Seno al Divrei Rav Shimon Liel ve al Divrei Rav Elazar ben Tzadok. The Rabbonan relied on the teachings of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Tzadok. Shei Omrim Ein Goyzrin Gzera al Hatzibur Elam Kein Roiv Hatzibur Yecholim Lamod Ba. As far as the background for this source is concerned, it's not essential for the understanding of our Gemara. Suffice it to say that the source says that we don't issue rules and restrictions on a community, on a tzibor, unless rove of the tzibor is able to maintain those restrictions and withstand those restrictions. The Omar of Ado Bar Haba, my craw, what posuk indicates this conclusion? The Me'era Atem Ne'orim, the Oisi Atem Koivim, Hagoy Kulo. For our purposes, it's sufficient that we see that in this posuk you see the word Kulo. The Ha Hacha Dechsiv Hagoy Kulo. Here the posuk refers to a restriction concerning an entire nation, and yet we know that from this very pasuk, veruba kukula dami, we derived the teaching in the Tanaic source that a restriction on the public can be imposed if you have even a majority that are capable. In other words, you don't need 100% of the population capable of withstanding the ruling or the restriction, whatever is being imposed. The source indicated that if rove is enough. So once again, what do you see from here? You see that even though the pasuk uses the word kulo, rove is enough. This constitutes an attack or a rejection of what Rav Huna Breid Rav Yeshua maintained, that kol indicates you need everybody. And if we knock out that source, so to speak, then we have a problem with Rav Yonason's original teaching. Tiufta de Rav Yonason, tiufta. We would at this point then have an objection, a rejection of Rav Yonason's teaching. If that be the case, then ve'el amai kol adas de koma rachmona. We had a pasuk three lines from the top that Rav Yonason cited as a basis of his teaching. What are we going to do with that? Hochi komar, I ika kulam, means if you have all 71 members of the Sanhedrin, then if you have them present, not that they have to be all together in the psak, but you have them present, havi hoira. The I loi, and if you don't have all 71 members there, even though you might have all those that are present in agreement with the psak, then lo hav yehoira. If you're missing members of the Sanhedrin, of the high court, then it does not constitute a court ruling, a hoira, and hence there would be no basis of a par helem devoshut tzibor under such circumstances. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, Asara Shiyoshvin Bedin, 10 that are sitting together in judgment, Kolar Tolui Betzavar Kulan. Figuratively, it's as if a chain is hanging around the necks of all of them. In other words, they're all in this together. All of the judges had better be very careful, realizing that mistaken judgment is considered sinful. Moore says, Pshita, I don't really need Rabbi Yeshua to tell me that the 10 that are sitting in judgment have to be very careful. So the more answer is, Hakam Ashmon Dafilu Talmud Bifnei Rabbi. The instructions of care concern even a student that's sitting in the presence of his teacher. Rav Huna, ki have nofik lebei dina, maisi asora tanoi debei rav lekamei. Rav Huna, when he would go to court to judge a case, he would bring 10 scholars along with him. Ki hechi denimtin shiba mikshura, so that each one would bear a piece of wood from the beam. This is a figurative description of if, in the event that there would be some type of error in the psak, and an error in his court ruling, so the burden would be borne by, would be split and borne by many, and not fall fully on his shoulders alone. Similarly, Rav Ashi, ki have a maisi trefsa lekamei, when a question of the acceptability of the kashrus of an animal was brought to Rav Ashi to rule upon, maisi asura tabchi v'masa mechasya, he would assemble 10 butchers of the city of Mechasya, umoisiv kamei, and have them sit in front of him. Omar ki hechi denimtin shibo mikshura, and he did this with the same idea of each, if there would be something erroneous in his ruling, so the burden of obligation would be split amongst amongst all of those present, and not fall on Rav Ashi's shoulders alone. Haru Beisdin v'yodu shito'u. Beisdin issued a ruling, and Rove of the Tzibor went ahead and followed their ruling, and the court discovered the Yodu Shuto, they discovered their error, the Chozru Bohen, and they backed out, they retracted from their ruling. Bein Sheviu Kaporoson, Ubein Shelo Heviu Kaporoson. Whether or not the court, the Parhelim was brought, V'holach V'osa Alpihen, and some individual went ahead after the court discovered that they had made an error. This individual went and practiced practice according to the original ruling. In other words, he sinned. Rabbi Shimon Poter. Rabbi Shimon says that even though he's not part of the majority per se, because his violation was after the court discovered their offense, he nevertheless is exempt from bringing a personal korban chatos, because he acted based on the ruling of the court. He's called a toilu bebeisdin. V'Rebbe Elazar Omer Sofek. Ezeu Sofek. Rashi explains, Vesu Sofek Klomar Amai Hu Chayev Oshom Toli. You see, Rebbe Elazar, when he says Sofek, Rebbe Elazar meant to say, there's a Sofek whether this fellow is Toilu Bebeisdin. That would be the side to say exempt from a personal korban chatos, or maybe we are to view him as a toile be'atzmo, someone who is really relying on himself. And as a result of that, if he were in fact relying on himself, he would be chayav korban chatos. So we have a situation of, is he toilah beis din, is he viewed as a toilah beis din and exempt, or not? In a situation like that, where you have a suffic korban, need for a korban chatos, one would bring another kind of korban called an osham toloi. The Gemara goes on, and as we saw in the Rashi before, let's read the Rashi again under Ezu Safek, Klomar Amaihu Chayav Osham Tolui. Why is he Chayav and Osham Tolui? So the Mishnah says, Yoshav Loi Besoch Beso Chayav. If you're talking about someone who remains and who violated this while remaining at home, so he's Chayav and Osham Tolui. However, Holach Loim Desayam, if he went abroad, potter, he is exempt. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Moide Ani Bozer, I would concede in this case of Holach Min Hasayam Shehu Korov Liftor Min Hachova. Rashi says, Shukorov Liftor, to have a Vadai Toilah Beis Din. This person who he originally heard the Psak of Beis Din, and he went overseas. In the meantime, the court retracted from their ruling. He didn't know about it, he was overseas. And then he went ahead and acted upon based on the original court ruling. In other words, he sinned. That's what Rabbi Akiva says. He's korov liftor, he's closer to being to exemption than obligation. And the Rashi points out, shukorov liftor davi vadai toilu beis din shelo yada chazor also, and he was unaware of the court's retraction. Since he went abroad, Omar lo ben Azai, maishno ze min hayoshiv beiso. What's the difference between someone who was abroad and someone who remained home? Answer: Shayoshiv beiso efshir hoyalo shiishma. Someone who's sitting at home, he could have found out that the court retracted. Therefore, he is similar to a toila be'atzmo, someone who acted on his own volition and not based on the court's ruling. Since he had this, he was in a position where he could have found out that the court retracted, and as a result of that, so he is going to be obligated to bring an osham toloi. However, Vazer, the one who went abroad, lo hoyo lo efshir shishma, he could not have known that the court retracted. Horu bezdin lakor es kol haguf. Examples. The case here is where bezdin issues a ruling that in effect undoes an entire mitzvah from the Torah. Examples: Omru, Ein Nida b'Torah, Ein Shabbos b'Torah, Ein Avodas Kohanim b'Torah. If they rule erroneously that there's no halachas concerning a Nida woman, or there's no halachas concerning Shabbos or idolatry, Hare Elu Pturin. A ruling like that would not result in a Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Horu levatel mixas ulakayim mixas hare ilu chayovin. If, however, they issued a ruling that was in opposition to a part of a mitzvah, then there would result a par helam dover shel tzibur. Ketzad, examples of this: Omru yesh nida b'Torah aval abo al shemeres yom keneged yom poter. One acknowledges that there is a prohibition concerning the Nida woman. However, they rule that one who has relations with a woman while she's in this state called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, that's a situation of a woman who, after finishing her Nida period, she enters a Ziva period. During the Ziva period, the halacha says that if she sees a blood emission, she must keep, uh, she Of course, the very day that she has that emission, she is forbidden. She's considered Tameah. She's forbidden to her husband. And she must watch or keep one additional day of purity, after which she would then become Muteres. That's called Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom. So the court here, in this case, would be saying that, of course, there is the general rule of Nida in the Torah. However, the rule of Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom does not apply. Or another example, Yeh Shabbos Batero, Aval Hamotzi Mershus HaYochid Lershus HaRabin Potter. The court acknowledges that there is Shabbos. However, they rule that movement of or transportation of items from private domains into public domains, that is exempt, which is a mistake. Another example of Mekayim Mitzvos and Bitul Mitzvos would be Yesh Avodas Kechovan B'Torah. They acknowledge that there is a prohibition of idolatry. Avol HaMishtachaveh Potter. But bowing is not considered a violation. Hare Elu Chayovin. These are examples of things that would generate a Par Helam Domer Shel Tzibor. Shenemar. Now, the Mishnah is bringing a posuk to serve as a basis of if the court is Okir Kol HaGuf, there is Ptur. Shenemar V'ne'elam Dovar Dovar V'lo Kol HaGuf. That only if a dover, an aspect of a mitzvah, is being uprooted, but not where they uproot an entire mitzvah from the Torah completely. Omar of Yudom Arav, my taimo de Rabbi Shimon. What is the basis of Rabbi Shimon's teaching that a yochid that was toile in the psak of Beis Din, he is exempt? Answer: Hoyol uverushus Beis Din hu oseh, since his sin was done with the original approval of the court. Ikot Yamri, another version is of Rabbi Marav, Omer Rabbi Marav, Oimer Hoya Rabbi Shimon, Kol Hoyro Shiotza Barov Tzibur, any ruling of a court that affected the majority of the public, Yochid Ha'oisa Oisa Potter, if a private person follows that psak, a psak that affected the majority of the population originally. So when that private person does the sin, he is exempt from a personal korban chatos. Lefi shelo nitna hoyro ela lahavchin bein shoygeg lemezid. If we look at the Rashi on this particular point, Rashi has two explanations. The first explanation is Lefi Shaloi Nitno Hoiro Elo Lahafim Ben Shogulim. He's reading the Rashi. He says Lahodia Shoisal Pihem Shogeg Hu Velo Mezidu. The issuing of a ruling, of a court ruling, serves notice that one who follows their court ruling is categorized as a Shogeg and not a Mezid. Vizal Pihoiro Huosa. And this individual was basing his behavior on their original ruling, Lefikoch Shogeg Hu. Therefore, he is categorized as a Shogeg, the Yochid Shosabiraz based in Potter. Let us turn back to the Gemara, Meisvei, Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, Usiire Avodis Gechovim, Betchila Goivin Alehem, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. The source of payment for the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibor, according to Rabbi Shimon, is collected from everyone in Israel. The population pays for it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mitrumas Halishka, Hein Boyin. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it comes from the temple funds. The Gemara asks, Amai, Kevan Degovi Lehu Havi Le Hoida. Since a collection is made, and we're focusing on Shitas Reb Shimon, since a collection is made from the entire public, so everyone knows that the court made an error in their psak. So the individual who goes ahead and sins, we can't describe him as being Toile the Beis Din. He knows a collection is being taken up for a Par Helem. So That shows that a mistake was made. So if he continues to sin, he's doing it on his own volition. Why is it then that Reb Shimon says that a Yochid Sha'osa Bahiraz Beis Din is exempt? One explanation might be that a collection was taken up, but it was not explained. It was collected stam. It wasn't explained that it was because of an erroneous court ruling. Another explanation is that even though the public pays for the parhelim, this individual was not in town when the collection was made, so he never found out that the court erred, and his behavior was one, his sin was based on their original erroneous ruling. Viboyas emo, Rav ki'idach tano sovar. Rav, in presenting Rabbi Shimon, who said that a yoch reisa oisa poter, follows another presentation of the of tanoim, another style, as we'll see momentarily. Desanya ipcha, we have an opposite Tanaic source. Betchila goyvin lohen divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the collection was made from all of Israel. Rabbi Shimon omer mitrumas lishbehein boyin. But according to Rabbi Shimon, the parhelim was paid for by the temple funds. Hence, a private person doesn't necessarily discover that the court erred, because the collection for the parhelim is not made from the public. It's from the temple funds, according to Rabbi Shimon. With this, we complete our shiur for today.